cliffcentral.com.
Please be aware that this show contains crude and foul language. If you are sensitive to topics like science or religion, we cordially invite you to please fuck off now. Thank you.
It's the Casper Show, the Casper Show, the Casper Radio Show. It's the Casper Show, the Casper Show, the Casper Radio Show.
That is right. It's the Casper Radio Show, Friday the 28th of April. And it's, I don't know what's a holiday anymore and what is not. Hey, Gavin. Good morning.
Good morning, Casper. How are you?
I don't know what's a holiday and what isn't.
Are
we on a holiday now?
We are on holiday.
My God. And it's Monday is another holiday.
But I found myself, yes, Monday is another holiday.
That's Workers' Day.
That's Workers'
Day.
When the workers don't work.
My God.
It's a day where we honor our workers. Ek vergeet nou wat die geskiedenis is agter die dag. But I found myself,
I think it's communist.
But I have found myself going on www.publicholidays.co.za.
Yeah.
Just to find out what's happening where. Because it's messing up my system.
So what's happening? What's happening
with? So this week we had,
what did we have yesterday?
What did we have yesterday?
Was that
not
Freedom
yesterday.
Day.
Freedom Day. We had Freedom Day.
And then today is off, and then Monday, but now people are gonna take today off as well.
I was in the gym as I was regularly.
Yeah.
And people are taking the month off of April.
Jesus, yeah, because it's so riddled.
And half is state school holidays and half is private school holidays.
Jesus.
Have you actually ever?
I can't cope anymore.
But there is the, I strive to be like this woman. She's a businesswoman in South Africa and her husband built the Holiday Inn, one of the Holiday Inns in Sandton, right?
Oh.
They take off twice a year, once a year for 2 months, and they go sailing on the Spanish coast.
Oh, is that, how wrong is that?
That is like,
that is so wrong on so many fucking levels, and on a holiday in Smani, nogal.
2 maanden.
Here, what maak die mense by die Michelangelo?
Exactly.
They sort of go to the moon, I suppose, for a month.
And when we went, and that very same people, when we went, that couple, when we went for the opening of the Ducknut van die hotel,
yeah,
we went like on the roof. On the roof is the pool, and we opened up bottles of red wine that is worth 250 rand a bottle. Because usually we buy bottles for 50 bucks, you know?
Yeah, we do.
And so it opgemaak en in die swembad gegooi. Why? Wow. Because we could.
It's wrong. It's wrong. It's so white privilege.
Says he.
Says he with the skin. No, I must say. But listen, talk about white privilege. Yes, sis. I know you were ill Friday, so you couldn't make it to... what happened to you? Were you in hospital?
I was in hospital. Have you actually ever...
Why?
Because I've got a lower back problem.
Oh.
But then, so Friday I was ill, right? Yeah. I was in the last show. I was doing it. I was very ill. I was
You're
ill.
You're doing it well.
Thank you. But remember, I did drama at school and college.
Well.
Yeah. And so they taught me the techniques of faking it.
So you were very ill with lower back pain.
Well, very ill with lower back pain. And then, so I did the show. And then when I got home, it hit me. And I had a headache as well. And then Monday, Tuesday, sometime in this week, I went for just a random visit at the Morningside Hospital.
Checkup, like a car.
Yeah, a random checkup.
Yeah.
Just to, you know, here's my form. I might need...
something, love and tenderness.
Yes, exactly. And then someone just look at me and, you know, and things like that. Within 2 hours, my pants was half down.
Oh, nice.
I was on my stomach. And they had like all sorts of... I need to apologize to the listeners for the gory details. But they had gel gevat, ne? In gel so al op my larig en halve van my boude gesit. And 'n masjien wat soos in gesien het wat binne in my liggaam aangaan.
Jesus. But are you okay?
No.
So do you need medication?
So I don't need medication, but it's just, we did a procedure.
You need prayer.
I need prayer. I need Angus Bachers. But now I'm like 80% there. I'm 80%. There's still 20% where I still need, like, you know, there's still pain.
Yeah.
My name is Subaya.
Mama, you moet gaan voor operasie.
Well, that is what people are warning me against.
I don't want to do that either. Oh my God.
Het jy 'n kolerige besering?
Yeah, I got it. And the car. I couldn't move.
Is it?
Yeah.
So what do you do?
So I gave me medicine. It was wonderful. I was on a high.
And amazed.
So I just want that. I don't want to go for operation. But listen, if you go for operation, then you must like sit down or not sit down or lie down for months, eh?
Well, I was told for me, it's just because my tissue is torn. Inside. And the nerves druk out there, and that's what the pain for us. So now, but I've been told like 2 weeks and all, and I'll be myself again.
That's amazing.
But I did, so now as part of the whole like rehabilitation process, process whatever. So apart from the physiotherapy, waar hulle weer vir my moet masseer, my boude masseer, but not the enjoyable kind, I went for Pilates.
Oh.
My bene is a klomp vroue daar, so I'm the only male there.
Yeah, but that's
like,
nice.
It's almost, I think it's like foreplay. Because when your bene gaan so, and it gaan, the one leg is in front and the one leg is at the back, you are open.
You're open up.
You're proper open.
You have to concentrate.
Yes.
Wow.
That's my life.
Oh, that sounds very nice.
How's your week been, Casper?
Well,
how was the show?
No, let me tell you what happened there, because we were talking about my privilege now. I sat in front of a row of white people.
Yes.
Who obviously don't go to theater a lot, who are very rich through contacts or what, I don't know. But I think it was a comp row, so the complimentary seat. Mm. And they, I mean, in that row was the sister of the Stain, Caroline Stain.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like those kind of people.
Okay.
Well connected.
Sharon.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But she was okay.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that she was the... But I mean, in that row, those kind of people sat there. So it must have been well-connected people. So there was this blonde and another blonde. And they were all about 38, 40. And there was an old oom of about 55. I'm nearly 55. And they just didn't stop cheering. You know, or you clink your glasses when you're going, cheers.
Yeah.
Now, at the beginning, I thought, yes, I feel the same. Yeah, it's Leo Sayer, yeah. And then, as the show went on, they're clinking and cheersing more and more, talking loudly through his show, falling about on each other.
Oh, my goodness.
Falling across the chairs. I was livid.
Was hulle 'n bietjie dot geweest?
Oh, ja, natuurlijk.
Oh, my goodness.
And ek was livid, ek wou hulle bliksem.
You were sitting in front. Let me get the picture.
No.
At the back.
I was in the middle.
Of them?
I was in the middle of the theater, yeah, and they were sitting in front of me.
Okay.
If they sat at the back, that would have been fine. They can enjoy themselves and gaan on. But you're in a theater, not a golden circle or a stadium. You're in a theater where everyone is close to one another. You can't behave like this.
Yeah.
You can't talk as if you are in front of your television.
Yeah.
And they were really disrespectful of everyone around them. There was an interval. Poor Leo. It was a stunning show. Stunning show. Mm-hmm. Leo was wonderful.
I saw on Facebook.
Jesus Christ. Full of energy, eh? He's like, what's that word?
Over OTT.
Yeah, well, not like, he's like manic, energetic.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether he's depressive as well, but he was manic that day. Remember our interview? He was just going on. He was fantastic.
Yeah. One word. It's like you said.
Yeah,
you said.
You throw one word at him.
Yeah.
I couldn't. Sometimes I what wanted to talk. He was just going. He didn't wait for music. I want to play like one line from his song.
Yeah.
You know, no, he was just talking.
And usually we have guests like we. You know, you always say to us, okay, prepare well and whatever. Yeah. With him, Okay, granted I had a headache, but I had one comment and I said what when I need you reminded me of, and that was it. And then he was just going on and on. But I must say, it was enjoyable.
It was very enjoyable. I didn't even realize that you said one line to him. Mm. So it all made sense coherently, I think. I guess Emma also said one or two things. But you just tell him, you got to be quickly. You live in Australia. Can't say you live in, and then he would go, Australia. So I was like, just, we don't need you. And there he goes.
Yeah.
10 minutes.
But okay, interval and then at the theater?
Okay, so then I was walking around there thinking what I should do. And my instinct was to move to another seat. But I was there with someone. So unfortunately, I was talking to other people and and my guest with me moved into the row again. Now, it's one of those rows where you've got to stand up and you must unclick your knees to get people to come past, you know. So then I thought, oh my God, he's already sitting there. Okay, let me go sit there again because I wanted to move. But no, we started the show. They were exactly the same. Just before the show, one of them leaned over to me and said, why are you looking so glum? I said, I don't know. I think maybe I'm like a parking meter and my money has run out and it's expired now. I'm not smiling anymore. She said, well, maybe you need a little bit of wine, she said. I said, yeah, a little bit of wine. That's what I need.
Oh my goodness.
So the show started. Leo started with a ballad from his new CD. So what happens? The blonde drunk ones.
Oh my.
Yeah, on the chair. They passed out the ultimate wine. Then they sort of came to when he started singing a more up-tempo song. Came to and started loudly talking to one another again. I said, fuck this. I got up. I climbed over the people because, you know, it's so difficult.
Yeah.
And, I stood at the side of the theater and I enjoyed it thoroughly then. So then I could be, because I thought, they're not going to ruin this for me. The first and last time I'll see Leo Sayer live, they're not going to ruin this for me. My brain said that. So get up and go stand in the corner. So I went, I stood on the side of the theater and I loved it so much. He's so fantastic, and he's fucking 70, you know. He's got a lot of energy. His voice is still so strong.
Yeah.
And what a humble man. I mean, he could have been like an Elton John or a Rod Stewart, but he's not.
Exactly.
But he's their colleague.
My questions, I had two questions for him that I prepared.
Okay, I will play him because I know, yeah.
And I was going to ask, what do you think of today's pop music?
I love it, but I don't like Idols and I don't like X Factor. But like Emma here, she is fantastic. I just so iets gesaid. Volgende vraag.
En my ander vraag is, Leo, so how do you, from, you've written so much of hits, like all, like, you know, that has been number one in many countries.
Bless
all over
darling,
the world.
Yes, that's true.
How do you remain so humble?
Yes. I know what you're saying. I think it is because I have been swindled out of my fortune by my manager. And it hasn't happened once, it happened twice to me.
Oh,
so
wow.
I slept in a car at one stage. I didn't have anything. While I was this famous guy called Leo Sayer. So I am very rooted to the ground.
Wow. Well done, Leo.
Yeah.
Leo.
Leo. I'm not fucking Leo. I'm Leo.
And okay. And now, debriefing. Emma. Yes. Emma CD.
Emma CD.
Oh, my God.
Isn't it? It's just, oh, my. It is. She should be an international star, don't you think, with that CD?
That song that you played, I forget the names now, but
I'm in my bubble.
The bubble song. It's in my car. It's permanently in my car. No one has a choice.
Yeah, it must be bubble time.
It is. It's absolutely bubble. And I think with that song and the words,
yeah,
like a lot of like listeners and people can identify with with that. You know, sometime we were all young. I'm 40 years old.
Absolutely.
But we can identify because we, at some point in our lives, we have been there.
We have all been there, yeah. And we have been there where you were the one that was in someone else's bubble, mm-hmm. and when someone else was in your bubble.
Yeah.
You know, you understand it from both sides. But the whole CD is mesmerizing. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Good. Oh my God, it is good. And I was thinking the other day, I was listening to it again. I think, yeah, this woman is international. Anyone listening to this will go, wow.
Exactly.
Musicians and stuff overseas. So she must, I think she's going to strike it.
She's
going to strike gold at some stage.
She must get get a team of branding experts behind her.
She must.
That can, because she's beautiful. She's moi.
She's stunning. She's talented. So if I was a record company already, I would invest in her. And that's what would happen overseas. They would invest, take her in, you know, spread the words, take out ads, send her songs around. But no, here we sit in South fucking Africa where no one wants to do anything.
Exactly.
Unless it rewards you personally, financially. They wouldn't try and boost some talent. It's such a pity. But I think she's going to strike gold, and I think she's going to be international because she is just too good. She's a phenomenon. And I hope Leo listened because he also has a copy of her CD.
I hope so too.
Maybe next week we'll open the net pages, the fucking internet pages, and see that she's performing in Australia.
Exactly.
You never know.
Wow. He quite liked her.
He loved her, and I'm glad it worked out that way.
You had like a mixture of, like, you made a very good choice in terms of getting the two together.
Yeah, and then because her music is good and he likes good music.
How old is she? Did she give her age? Because that is what I was wondering.
Young.
Like 2021 vibes.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, because she wrote one of those songs when she was like 9. So I think Little Mozart, I told you. So I don't know. She can't be that old. She can't be. She must be young. Anyway, that was last week. But now this week I've got a wonderful lineup for us. And that is, I went to Goliath. And Goliath, they have a club. Never been there, so I went to check it out.
Yeah.
Like Joe Parker's got a club. Now they've got a comedy club. And it was wonderful. It's there in the Lani area of Melrose Arch, Rosebank. Very nice. It looks stunning. The place inside is nice and modern. Good food. Loved it.
Wow.
And that evening I was there with Skulk Poseidonert, who I now know a little better through our 3-in-1 show that we did at Kaka Kaka. So I said, Skulk, I want to go there. Would you want to go there? And he said, I want to go there. Do you want to go there? And so we went. So he showed me the ropes a bit and how it works there and how, where you can sit and all that. And then it was newcomers evening. So newcomers at 5 to 8 minutes.
Yeah.
To say a couple of things. Well, to maybe funny, basically. And then that was it. But it's new faces.
How can you be funny in like 5 minutes? Can you be like, wow?
I don't know. So I said, okay, well, let me invite some of them that I liked to our show today. So they are here.
Wow.
But let's first welcome our
extra special
guest, Skulk Poseidonert.
Yay. Yay.
Hello.
Yay.
Hi, Skulk.
Hello, Cassie.
Yes, see. Thank you for being here. I know you've got to go to Cape Town just now.
Yes. Just straight from here.
Yeah.
To the airport.
Maar ach, dankie dat jy hier is.
Dankie.
En ek het nou net vertel van Goliath, die aand by Goliath, en hoe lekker het was.
Maar,
Gavin, I know you've got a lot of questions for Skulk. You can ask, especially about our show, The Car Can't Car. You can ask a lot of questions about that. But I just want to ask you, Skulk, like Goliath, is that like, it felt to me like After Dark, Club 58 when I was young. A lot of artists around.
I can't relate. I can't.
No, but so let me tell you what was Club 58.
Okay.
And what was After Dark? It was a lot of artists around. You can come in for free. You talk to other. You can come and see a lot of shows.
Yeah.
It's like it's a lack of plek om te congregate.
Yeah.
En het vir my die selige gevoel, want julle almal ken mekaar daar. En
ja. Ek moet sê dit is vir my altyd amazing as ek al aankom om te perform of partykeer as ek net inpop.
Yeah.
Jy verwag gewoonlik nou. Ja, yeah, jy kyk wie's op die line-up en gaan, okay, daar is 'n pel vir my, daar is 'n pel vir my, so gaan hulle nou sien. Maar dan sien jy soveel meer comedians wat nie op die line-up is nie, wat net uithang. Dan dink ek soos, fok, werk niemand nie. Almos net heeltyd by Goliath, niemand gig nie. Maar terselfde tyd sien jy op Instagram hulle gig, maar hulle is ook by Goliath, so ek weet nie hoe mense dit doen nie.
Is dit meer 'n phenomenon by Goliath as by Joe Parker? Of is Parker maar dieselfde?
Nee, ek sal sê dit is meer 'n phenomenon by Goliath, and I get nie, I can't give a reason why, maar dit is nie somme dat comedians net Parkers toe gaan, en daar hang. Nee, ek dink maybe omdat Goliath is, maar net letterlik, geografies nogal sentraal vir amal baie mense bly, Melville, Linden, daai Ilovo, daai area, so is baie maklike plek vir iemand, vooral as jy klaar by 'n ander gig was, om te gaan, ach, ek wil nie na huis toe gaan nie, is nog bietjie vroeg, kom ons gaan drink 'n drink of twee by Goliath, ja.
Yeah. Ja, dit is hoe ek het verstaan het, het was baie cozy en gesellig, en ek sal actually teruggaan, ek het baie geniet,
yeah.
Because I wasn't sure what to expect, maar het is, ja, dit het my laat denk aan my jong daar, toe ons uit by Club 58 daar in Hillbrow, and then everyone came together after a show, or you did a show and you came back to Club 58, it was wonderful.
En wat lekker is, die kultuur wat Goliath nou begin aanneem, is dieselfde as wat The Comedy Store en I, die legendary New York clubs is waar big names like Louis C.K. can walk in and say, can I have 5 minutes? And he ends up doing like half an hour.
Yeah.
The same culture starting to develop there. That's like more established people can message on, you know, the morning or the day before and say, oh, I'm
around
in town tomorrow, but I don't really have anything tomorrow night. Can I just, obviously, at no payment, but can I come jump on? And they're like, yeah, come.
Ja, dit is nie vir payment nie. Ek sien dit ook nie so.
Ek weet, maar daai ding van, jy weet, baie gigs is soos, nee, die gig is vol.
Ja,
jy weet,
ja nie, jy kan nie.
Jy kan nie, nee, ons moet nou binnen die tyd, maar Goliath is baie, jy weet, nee, kom, flexible. Jump on. Ja, kom, doen 5. Dis lekker. En is lekker dan vir die audience om 'n gesig te sien wat hulle nie verwag het op die line-up nie.
And also to come to a show that night, exactly, I'm just rephrasing what you said.
Yeah.
And you sit there and all of a sudden, oh my God, yeah, it's this guy as well. And he's going to perform.
Yeah.
Woo! Surprise.
Yeah, surprise.
That's wonderful. So you would like to go over and over to that place. I love it.
Mm.
But Gavin, you said, what did you want to ask Skulk about my car and car show with him and Hannes?
How was it?
Casper is
that
an aspirist.
So eloquent.
He does this because he's been seeing that I've been working on my phone, so he's bringing me to attention. How was the show?
Kasper,
how would you have described the show? Because Casper gave his version
last week.
What
did I say? What did I say?
Casper said that it was well. He was well received. You guys were well received.
Yes.
He focused and his attention more on the people that came there, and that
what
it was.
What do you mean that came there?
Well, what did I say?
We all focused our attention on the people came there. That came there, the fucking crowd.
Because my initial question to Casper was there a lot of people that went to the festival?
No.
And you zoomed in on...
No, fuck them. We're talking about our show. That was so fantastic.
Okay, how was the show, Skulk?
Well, first, I think it was a big deal for me and Hannes. It was...
Why?
It was also... Just because we grew up... Me more so, actually. Grew up with Casper. Like, since the age of 9. Like, taping Casper Asper show sketches.
Wow.
You know, like, your mom taking you to Empress Palace. It's a Musa ding because you're, like, 10 years old. You're not actually allowed to go in, but your mom's saying, it's fine, he's with me, whatever.
He told me, he came to my show. I remember that show, 2004. He was fucking 9.
Oh my
God. He was there.
Yeah, and you remember?
No, in 2004 I was 12. But
that was snaaks genoeg.
Oh, was dit die met die stoel?
Dis snaaks genoeg, ja.
Oh, okay, dan was ek 12, excuse me.
Wat die een dat jy gaan kyk toe jy jonger was nog?
Die een met die stoel, wel voor dit, man, en dan Casper Asper.
Dan was dit,
ja, en jou video's, Wetter en
voor
Balkbors.
Die stoel was dit my wêreld.
My wêreld het ek ook gaan kyk, so dalk is dit die een wat ek nie gekyk. Maar die stoel het ek gebly vir die foto. So after the show, I stood there for like ages, and someone from the stage said, we're like, please, 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 can you go ask Gosper if you will come out? And then it was like long, and we were standing.
You're 12 years old, yeah.
Yeah, and we were standing at the front of the stage. We don't know Gosper, if you don't know if he's going to come, fuck off, like a 12 year old. You know? and then we stood in front of the chair, and I was so upset because I was there with my buddy Christoph. And obviously, before, you know, smartphones, so it was taken on like a little camera.
Yeah, those Kodaks.
And we had them developed, and my photo was so blurry.
Oh, no.
You couldn't even see that it was Gosper and me. Oh, and no. Crystal's photo came out clear. Perfect. And I was so angry, like, that I didn't have a photo.
But Christoph, can't he make you another picture?
No, I mean, you can't, there's not one.
Would love. No, but you can stick negative terug here and say, make nog one.
Nee, maar die foto was blurry geneem, dan kan jy niks aan doen nie.
Maar Christoffsen.
Ja, maar ek wou hê myne, ek sien op Christoff se foto nie.
Ek was so
graag. Nee, Christoff, dis net hy en jy en net ek en jy.
Ek en jy is blurry.
Ek en jy is blurry en jy en Christoff is nie. But anyway, so that was a big deal. And it was also, Casper spoke about it in the show. He said, did you guys grow up with me? And he remembered the one show he went, I'm here, touch me. But I would say overall, Casper was like a mother figure to me. And
motherfucking figure.
To me and Anas. And the funniest thing for me was the one show where, so in the car,
yeah,
one night, we just like joking around in the car, and we started doing impressions of people. And I did a Marge Simpson impression. Like,
fantastic.
Oh, Homer. I can't do it now. Just had coffee. So anyway, then the next night on stage, Casper did a thing that my mom always does that I used to hate as a child. Like, I was a big Jim Carrey fan.
Yeah.
And I would always impersonate Ace Ventura at home. But you know when you do a thing at home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With your family.
Relaxed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, any tea if you come and yay, fucking around. Now, and then your mom, you go to other people's house, your mom says, do the thing. Yeah. Yeah. Do the thing for them.
Yes,
and you're like, no,
yes.
Mom. And then eventually she pressures you. Then you do it. But the Tani sitting there has never seen Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
So you just like pulling, like pretending to come out of Rhino's asshole.
Yeah.
And this Tani is like, your child is fucking weird. Or I also used to do Oom Kali, Casper's
character. Yeah, yeah.
So like I used to memorize.
That's a sad story, this one.
The thing from tapes, you know. But now it's only funny and good and oh look if you know Oom Kali. So I did Oom Kali once for my guitar teacher, and then he did the showcase of the guitar school, everyone was there, and he told me, you must come do Oom Kali. You must come do Oom Kali. It's the funniest thing. Now I perform, now it's like pretty much just everyone's grandparents.
Oh
sitting
my
there.
Goodness.
And I do Oom Kali, but I'm in the outfit, the whole shebang, like glasses, everything. And I'm like, and I do the whole story that I've memorized. I just died. Because if you don't know Oom Kali, it's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's just a 12-year-old kid going with his tongue out. Like it's a fucking weird thing to see. Like if you don't have the frame of reference. So anyway, Casper did that to me on stage. He goes, do Marge. And it's like 550 people. I'm like, I don't want to do Marge, Casper. He's like, do it, man. He says, you had it so mooi in die kar gedoen. Now I'm there on stage. And I knew it was going to happen. Eventually, yeah. I get bullied into, oh, Homer. And people just like, okay. And Casper's like clapping and laughing.
He's the only one enjoying it.
Yeah. And then at last, like, at least I got a laugh because then I told the story about my mom used to do it.
Yeah.
But John, the show is okay. Like, I was personally cucking myself, I think, out of the three the most because I do stand-up's my strong suits, you know, like I don't talk a lot to the crowd. I prepare my material.
Yeah.
Obviously, if something spontaneous happens, I go for it. So I was a bit like nervous for the improv element because we actually just made the skeleton of the show and most of it was improvised. But I'm so grateful that we did it because then it just, especially the third show, just it all came together and the thrill you get from getting a laugh from something that just comes out on the spot is actually so much more, because if you have a joke that you've done 100 times and it kills every time, you do it, it's still fun, but you're like, of course it killed. I knew it would kill because I've done it 100 times to various crowds.
Yeah.
But now you throw something out there, you have no idea if it's going to land or not, and then it lands.
That was wonderful.
So you grew up with Gasper's work, right? So you went to go and see him, so you were one of the millions of fans in South Africa.
Not too much about me now.
But I want to know.
Go on.
But I want to know.
Here, touch him.
So now that you are working with Gasper, right? How's the reality in comparison to the fantasy, for lack of a better term? Like
being because a fan, they say never meet your
heroes,
because they cuck people. So now he worked with someone he knows from TV. Yeah.
Yes, it was like I experienced it. I think Casper, you need to get to know him before you can really, before he like opens up, you know, like it's weird we're talking about Casper in front of him, but the first time I did Cliff Central, which, like, when was that? Like, a few years ago.
Yeah. You were on with Alex J, am I right?
Yeah.
Yes. I can remember.
Fuck, there was... Yeah, I did not remember it was Alex J. So, you know, and then, like, Casper was quite, like, reserved and... Yeah. But now, then when we got to know each other at Car Con Car more, and even in the rehearsals for Dree and Ian, like, at this little guest house, it was all sort of, we were, like, almost, like, scared of each other. Everyone was almost, like, scared of each other.
Yeah, yeah.
But then, by, like, the third day of Car Con Car, it was just, like, constant banter, constant joking around, you know, tuning each other on. And it then comes across on stage, because people can see, these aren't just three professional comedians performing. These are... actually, three friends. having a great time. Three colleagues, three friends, whatever.
Because it's very difficult, Gavin, as you can imagine. As Ek Nou Met Jou gaan staan op a stage in Betty Bangles. So who's going to shut up? You can't talk all at the same time.
Yeah.
So to feel that, that is fantastic.
But I am disappointed.
And we did, yeah?
Because there's now two of my heroes that finally I get to a stage where all I want to do is like... have a party with them, and they don't drink anymore.
Yeah,
and that's Casper and Francois van Cook.
He doesn't drink either.
Francois van Cook is like
drink anymore.
Nee. He's off the.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So I mean, he used to be like,
of course,
proper crazy
rock and roll.
Yeah.
He's still rock and roll, but now I don't know actually if I'm allowed to say it on. I don't know if he wants people
to
know.
You're allowed to say it on air. This is Cliff Central.
I don't know if he wants people to know. But anyway, so...
you heard it.
Yeah, and then or maybe just when I was hanging out with him, he just went through a phase of like...
cleansing.
Cleansing phase. Maybe he's drinking again. I don't know. But so anyway, and I like actually hung out with him. And I'm like, Francois! You know, I'm like, this moment I've been waiting for since I've been listening to Folk of Police. Can I buy you a beer? No, Coke for me. Oh, fuck.
Sorry, there's a call coming in. Okay, thanks, Belisa. Hi.
Hello, Casper. This is Francois van Cook. Hey, skalk vir dat kak. Ek is push the rock op hierdie oor. Ter wein ons gesel.
Okay, thanks, Francois.
Bye!
Bye, Francois.
Now, we got two of the newcomers or whatever. What were they called Monday?
It's called Next Generation.
Next Generation.
The Next Generation comedy show.
And I'm going to switch on their mic now. They're here. They come in.
They just said hello into
a
muted mic. Shame.
In Casper, nog steeds hulle. Hy het nog hele mic aangesit.
Okay, let's do the interview like this. Okay, it's just my mic. Hello.
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 Hoe gaan het?
Okay. You're on. Introduce yourselves to me and to the listeners, please.
I'm Cry the Toy, of Cry in Afrikaans.
Cry. And?
Oh, okay. I'm Bongani Dube. Hello, listeners.
You were wonderful, both of you, on Monday. I really loved it.
Thanks.
Cry, you did like...
your style. I don't know if it's always like that, but at the what I saw is was like the one liner. You know, you throw out a joke and stop, and throw out a, is that one?
Deadpan.
But then get on a comedian, Jimmy Carr.
Jimmy Carr, there's
a bit of Jimmy Carr, and then there's an older guy
Mitch
with Hedberg.
Oh, and then Stephen Wright. Stephen Wright is that?
Him,
yeah.
I was thinking.
I remember the day the candle shop burned down. Everybody just stood around and sang happy birthday. And I headed for the highway and began hitching. Within 3 minutes, I got picked up in one of those huge trailer trucks carrying 20 brand new cars. Climbed up the side of the cab and he opened the door and the guy said, I didn't have much room in here, why don't you get in one of the cars and back? So I did. He's really into picking up people because he picked up 19 more. We all had our own cars. Then he went 90 miles an hour, we all got speeding tickets. My theory of evolution is that Darwin was adopted. I was 5 years old watching TV. Only you can prevent forest fires. Oh no. Every night out the window with a bucket of water. So I went through a stop sign, they stopped me. They said, why do you go through the sign? I said, hey, I don't believe everything I read.
Okay, so is that your style?
Depends. If I do a bit of Afrikaans, it tends to go a bit different. So dan gaan dit bietjie anderste. So
ek het nog nooit gesien dat jy Afrikaans doen. Hoe is dit anders dan?
Dis eintlik baie maklik. As ek Afrikaans doen, dan is dit bietjie meer van 'n storie. Ek is baie meer expressive van Afrikaans.
Mm-hmm.
So Afrikaans is my ek weet nie, asof jou 'n uppercut gee in jou 'n pushou gee in die gesig en dan weet jy, okay, die joke is daar, maar dit vat langer om daarby uit te kom.
Mm-hmm. Ja, maar dit is jou taal, ja.
Ja, met Engels
Wat is jou day job?
Ek's 'n software developer.
Oh,
programmeerder, ja. So, ja.
For now.
For now.
You want to stop and just do comedy?
Yeah, that's a 5-year, 6-year goal if that's a thing.
So, hoe lank is jy nou in die gang dan?
3 years, and the goal has been started last year June, so we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
But mag jy jou regte naam sê?
Ja, ek gaan ek vir jou sê, my regte naam is Johannes.
Hoekom is jy kraai?
Ek vra nie ander mense oor hulle swart voels nie. Nee, my regte naam volg.
Hallo, ek is Hadida de Lange.
Nee.
Ek is Swalky Swart.
Ek is Albatros Vos.
Dis 'n windvoel.
My oupa se naam was Johannes, maar in Afrikaner kultuur werk dit so, jy kry oupa se naam.
Ja.
So as oupa se naam Doos is, is jy klein Dosie. Dis maar net hoe dit werk.
So was hy kraai.
Nee, maar dis die probleem. Wat toe gebeur het, as jy sien as jy gedoop word, dan raak ons lei. As hulle uit die kerk uitstap en word 'n naam soos Jakobus, Jakob of Kobus. Dosie word Dou of Os. En Johannes word Johan of Anus. So ek moes kies tussen Johan, Anus en toe word ek maar net kraai.
Dis jy kraai. Ek het ook my oupa se drie name. My oupa is Pieter Hendrik Skalk, my pa is Pieter Hendrik Skalk, ek is Pieter Hendrik Skalk.
Pieter Hendrik Skalk. So jy die derde een gebeur. Is jou pa ook Skalk?
My oupa was Pieter Hendrik Skalk, my pa Skalk, ek is Skalk.
Okay.
Ek is Skalkie.
So jy het die Skalk gevat van jou pa.
So jy's soos die U van.
Ja, so jy kan dames en here welkom by vroeg Hendrik Besuidnout.
Nee.
Dit kon dit gewees het.
Of
dit kon actually want
Hennie.
My broer, ek asseblief moet niemand ongemaklik voel nie. My broer is doodgebore. Stillborn. En my maat vir my gesê hy sou 'n jaar ouer wees as ek. Kyk, blessing in disguise, want ek dink net dit was iets soos net 3 uit sy 4 hardkamers het gewerk. So as hy oorleef het, sy met soos 'n suurstof tankie, yeah. Moes hy nie kon hardloop nie. Hy nie kon
altyd by jou shows gesit het, daar is my boetie.
Hallo man.
Ja. Extra seat vir die suurstof. So in elk geval, my maat het vir my gesê dat, nee, hy het beplan om hom Skalk te noem. Maar hy is toen nou doodgebore. So ek sou Hendrik gewees het.
Ja. Dirkie besuin nou, dames en heren.
Ja, ek hou van Dirkie. Ek het nooit besef, Hendrik word Dirkie.
Ja, nee, mens kan enige kant toe met die fokkende. Ja.
Henny. Henny is ook nice.
Henny is ook een oulik, ja. Maar ja. Henny klink een bietjie meer soos, ek weet nie.
Soos Blertie se neefie. Ja.
Ja. Blertie het my fan. Blertie het my fan, so we nou nie spot met Blertie. Blertie is ook die toy.
Wow, dis ook waar.
Kan ek iets vertel, net dat jy Sweetkop noem? Ek het een show gedoen in Newcastle dinsdag aand. Nee?
Ja.
So toe rij ek Newcastle toe dinsdag. Dis okay. 3 ure se rij.
Yes.
Toe is die eerste keer in my loopbaan en ek het so half gevoel, ek het dit nou so gehalf gemaakt, want Speedcop het my afgetrek. En ek die vet so gaan, take off your glasses. Oh my word, Skalk, bezijden nou! No way, yo, you killed it on the roast, my bro. You know, I want to do comedy. I've always thought I want to do 5 minutes, man. Nou is ek so, ja, jy moet, man. Ja, jy moet kom. Waar bly jy? Wish in Melville. Ek bedoel, Poppies in Melville, gaan daar, try 5 minutes. Okay, my bro. Oh, ja, ek gaan nou dan. Ah, man, sorry, I forgot to ask. Can I have your license? Hy looks at my life. Wacht ek net. Ek wacht vir hy oomlik vir hom te gaan. You know, I love your comedy, but, you know, I need to do my job in years of fine.
Ja.
Maar ek gee toe my license terug.
Nee, hy stel.
Have a good day.
Wat het jy verkeerd gedoen?
Ek weet nie of het net, ek was oor die speed limit, maar met soos 'n paar kilo's. Ek was soos tussen 120 en 130.
Hy moet ook net check.
Dit was nie asof ek hoorde. So ek weet nie of het een random check was, en of maar hoe hy my afgetrek het, het nogal gelijk of hy pissed off is. Hy het my nogal aggressively afgewaai. Mm. En toe hy my nou net laat gaan, toe sê ek soos, okay, ek wou nog altyd die level bereik waar een speedkop jou herken in die kar.
Fantastisch. Mr. Dube, how do I pronounce your name? Say it slowly, please.
Bongani Dube.
Okay, that I know. Bongani.
Yeah.
It's not that difficult.
It's not at all.
Bongani.
Like, white people like Bongani. Say my name.
Bongani. Bongani.
Yeah.
Everyone at home, Bongani.
Bongani.
Dube.
Bongani Dube.
Dube. Dube. But you say Dube.
Yeah, Dube.
Not Dubai.
Not Dubai. No, no. It's, yeah.
Bongani
Dube.
It's Dubai.
Bongani Dube. It's like Dubai, very babe. Quick. Bongani Dube.
Bongani Dube. Bongani Dube.
I loved your session. It was so original. So how? Where did you start with your con? What's your influences?
Your session.
My session.
Did I say
I had
session?
A TED talk.
Yeah,
you had a comedy session.
I never said. No, oh. Skalk, don't take it away from us. I had a session.
You had a session. The race had a set. You had a fucking session.
I was opening up to the people. Like, I had to pay the people, like, thank you so much to listen to me. Like, I got really emotional there. Yeah. No, I'm highly influenced by Dave Chappelle. And it's quite evident in my you know, as I present myself, people be like, yo, I saw a lot of Dave Chappelle in you there.
I'm one of those people that's so smart that I'm uncomfortable in this world. And I'm scared to live. I'm not scared to live, but it's scary out here. God damn. I know how flimsy this shit is. I can see through this. I can see the truth. There's an animal inside each and every one of you. It's not good. Shit is real. Listen, I was looking at the paper the other day. I'm not making this up. There's a serial rapist in Houston. There's nothing funny about serial rape, but what is noteworthy about this particular rapist is that all of his victims have been men. Enjoy your evening. I can't believe you clapped about that. It's a man raping men in Houston. It's the most gangster shit. So far, like 7 men have already come forward in the Houston area and reported this motherfucker, which means he must have raped thousands. That's a tough phone call for us to make. It's not like when you get raped, ladies. There's no... Society don't give a fuck about male rape. There's no hotline for us. Man get raped, you just gotta get up and walk that shit off. Up. Oh, got raped. Caught me slipping. You gotta take that shit to the grave. Couldn't even tell my wife some shit like that. Come home, all disheveled and shit. Hey, where have you been? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Out fucking another woman. Just go back to sleep, okay?
And when I'm trying to like slowly shake it off where I can finally just have my voice with people like, cool, we now know who you are. But it was about almost 2 years ago. I think I'm pushing on 2 years ago in like in about a month or so when I decided, like, cool, I'm quitting my job. I'm doing comedy full time.
What was your job?
I worked just up the road here, Metropolitan Republic, as an art director.
Okay. Oh. I always find it so interesting what comedians did before.
Yeah, comedy. No, it was a cuck job. It was terrible.
Art director for ads.
Art director is a advertising. Nice title.
It's a great, it sounds amazing. Yeah. Art director, wow. Yeah, direct the art through traffic. It's a terrible job, dude. That's like it was just a lot of work for me to do every day. And then I was doing comedy at the same time, but now come 9 o'clock, I'm still at work. I'm like, dude, I need to go do comedy. Like, no. We pay you. You stay here. Comedy doesn't pay you yet. And then I felt like, wow, you guys don't respect me, so I'm just going to leave. It was terrible, dude.
How dare they ask you to do your job?
You know, yeah. Like, pay me extra.
You know what?
Time.
You don't respect me.
I do what I want to do. Yeah.
Are you happy that you'd made that decision?
Yeah, I'm very happy about it. Even though it's taken some time to finally like make big waves within the comedy industry.
Yeah,
I'm happy I made the decision, and I'm running the good run. It's tiring, but yeah, you just have to keep.
You need to take that leap at some stage. Obviously, the time is right, but I mean, it's a big
Yes. I'm gonna do a Skulk's mother on you now.
Okay.
Won't you tell the story about the carrots?
Don't do it, Bongani. Stay strong and say, no, people come watch me.
They
no,
come watch.
No.
No, they need. Well, it's Casper the Priest, though. It's hard to say no.
Like, it was so funny. I was like paralytic.
It's pressure
laughing.
On you. Like, we're just saying nice things. Like,
just a little bit about the carrots.
The carrots are. I realized this like when I walked into.
Sorry, can you say, Skulky, can you say in Marge's voice to him that he must do the carrots?
I'm not doing that. I already did it twice earlier. We just two.
Please do the carrots. Very nice, Skulk.
No. Oh, man. Oh, well, Woolworths and ShopRite differ in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Right? And it's quite evident in the grocery, in the fruit and veg section, where at Woolworths you'll find baby carrots. And the baby carrots there, I mean, they supple and juicy. They go to a private school.
Can I interrupt you with your own joke and just say something you left out? Because there's something that's very funny in the story you say. White people, you've been holding out on us.
Oh, you
like we've been hiding it, you know?
I did my own investigation. Yeah, I found this out. Like, black guys, I'm about to blow your mind. These white people are like eating baby carrots. Like, you should see these things, man. Like they wear little hats, play clarinets. Yeah, they're going places and they're part of the choir. But unlike those carrots that we used to at ShopRite. No, those old carrots. Those carrots that have been through the struggle. Like, the carrots that voted in 1994. Like,
they were in line.
Like, standing in line. That's about it. Like they loose at the neck.
Yeah.
Those carrots with arthritis.
The pop carrots. I love it. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. We got messages here.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to read. Cindy says, I loved the show this morning. You guys are on fire.
Hello, Cindy.
Thank you, Cindy.
And Marcel says, cry. Jy skuld my nog. Kappa van Mugani Dube. They say, this one, I saw you Monday. You were killing it.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, y'all. So please keep those messages coming.
Mm. Yeah, guys.
Sure.
Cool. We're enjoying them.
In such a name by thy birth, guys.
What's a cock is any anonym?
Ik wil net vir Marshall say,
as jy my kind is, ek kom eenoor die tyd huis toe seentjie.
Jy skuld my skoolfonds.
Skuld skoolfonds, ek weet nie.
I'll be honest with you guys, I understand like about like 10% of what you're talking about. Every time you guys start speaking of a guy, I'm just the guy. Yeah, I met y'all.
Jeez, I'm glad I didn't tell my the story about my brother being stillborn in Afrikaans, and Bongani just say, it's like, no, Bongani, not now.
So tell me, when you hear Afrikaans, what does it sound like?
Like, I can hear like a couple of words, but yeah. Half of it, I'm just thinking.
Translate your brain for me. Guys, what does your brain hear?
All I'm thinking in my head is like, what the fuck are they saying? Okay, they're laughing now. Okay, laugh with them. Just be cool.
Is it like,
it's so
guttural sounds, like
a little bit of that, but the thing is, I did learn Afrikaans, so I can pick up what's going on. It's
okay.
Just that, yeah, it's not very fluent for me. Okay. Like when you listen to Zulu people, like you know when they're talking about you.
I can't.
Oh, but you know when they're talking about you, right?
Yeah. No, I know.
No, I don't.
Like, you know,
Zulu point people like, point at you. That's what I'm talking about.
If they're running towards you with shields and spears,
yeah, then I know they're talking about you.
Kasper, ek het 'n vraagie vir jou. Kan jy vir my my eerste CD teken asseblief?
Wow. Look at that. What is Johnny, look at that. That's a wig, eh?
Kan ek sien?
Ja.
Daai waai was
my ek het ook so hem.
Ek jy?
Ek het dit in 'n hospis gevind dit. Ek sweer is joune.
That's 1994.
Yo,
yeah, that's
that
is 1994.
Yeah.
Yes,
ek het
jou hare is lank.
Ja, maar dit is 'n pruik.
Oor is 'n pruik.
Oh, ja, 'n bietjie daarvan. But here's my eie bietjie is 'n
wig. Yeah.
I was playing in a movie called Soweto Green and they gave me a wig. And at that time I was recording this, so I kept the hair.
So hierdie is sketsies. Dit is nie ek sien hierso wat dit sê.
It's the first time in Afrikaans.
Ek het dit in 1959 die brille. Yeah. So dis nie jou stand-up wat op 'n
No, it was I started because my main influence at that stage were for series were like Monty Python and like sketchy stuff.
Good evening. My name is Anne Ilk and I want to tell you about my new theory. And what it is too. Actually, I should not have said good evening just now, because although it might be evening now for you, and I hope it is, obviously, but if it isn't, don't please start thinking that it is, because you'd know that better than me, obviously, because there's no way I regret that I can know when you are watching this. I wish there was, but there isn't, so we'll just have to be grown up about it. So, I think instead I should start by saying good whatever it is, and then you can fill in the whatever it is bit, okay? Good. So, for example, if it's morning now, for you that is, because it's actually afternoon here for me, although that does not affect you, obviously. Why should it? What a ridiculous idea. Excuse me. So, if you are watching this in the morning, your time, then good whatever it is will mean good morning on this occasion. Though not, obviously, if you watch this again tonight, because then it would be good night. Just wanted to clear that up. So, my name is Anne Elk, Miss. And here is my theory. Actually, it wouldn't be good night, because that means goodbye. And I wouldn't want to greet you to this new theory of mine by saying, goodbye, because you might stop watching. Oh, yes, and you'd be quite justified. So, if you do watch this again tonight, good, whatever it is, means good evening. Well, I think we've cleared that up. Took a bit of time, but worth it, I think. Good evening. My name is Anne Elk, Miss, and the next thing I say will be my theory, which is mine. Starting now. Here we go. My theory is... that some women grow moustaches, and here is the evidence, which is mine, like the theory. Thank you, and good whatever it is.
So wow. I decided to do music because I loved music and sketches. So which one do you want to hear?
Ek dink pynlyn, want pynlyn het my in die moeilikheid gebring. Want wat gebeur het is, my maale sien die CD, ander kinders koop Metallica. Jy weet, Guns N' Roses, ek kom met Afrikaans aan. My ma's, die kind luister Afrikaans! Nou kom my pa by die kamer, track 13, pynlyn. En jy moet die track hoor om te verstaan my pa gesê het, want hy sê, wat so tos luister jy nou?
Well, that was the first CD ever in Afrikaans to have a warning for mature audiences outside.
1994 warning nie.
Het hy nie warning nie?
Ek sien hom nie.
Daar was moeilike sticker, het sy nie versensitief.
Daar is hy gekopie die
ene. Hy het die sticker afgetrek.
Ja nee, want my male mag nie gesien het wat ek gekoop het, ek was nog jong.
Ja, want I remember we were like so young, that's the first CD, so I sometimes went to shops like Rosebank CD warehouse, and then the guy who owns the place says, oh my god, Afrikaans CD with a warning, that's amazing.
Who out is she? Who out is she?
There I'm 94, so that means I'm fucking what? 64,
minus 2017 minus
84. I'm 30.
Dis amazing. The time.
Dis amazing hoe styl teruggekom het, want soos die hipsters in Kloofstraat en Kaapstad.
Ja, yeah, they look exactly like that.
30 years later.
Ek trek fucking so aan.
Unless jy baie kinders het in die Kaap.
As jy nou so rondloop in Braamfontein, gaan almal gaan, wow, hierdie is cool.
Like that guy. That guy's progressive.
Wat jy jou kleren.
So waar jy dit gekoop?
Ek kan nie eers onthou nie, ek was by 'n CD winkel in Johannesburg, my maat. Ons was altyd voorwees toe, die dag is voorwees toe, toe gaan ons Joburg toe vir shopping, want ons het in Harties geblei. Toe kry ek hierdie CD, en toe sê my ma, wat, jy kan nou nie eers een CD, wat gaan jy koop? Toe kry ek vir my Casper de Vries. So,
wow.
Ek weet nie eers hoe dit was of wat nie, maar...
Jy het sommer nie gekoop?
Ja, ek het hom gekoop. Ek was, daai tyd was jy nog op Untag gewees, jy was een van my favorite ones. Ek het nog Grykie was my, ek het my een vinger amper afgekap op 'n show met Grykie, met so'n koekshow.
Oh, with you copied that?
Ja, ek weet, eindelijk moet jy nog royalties betaal, maar daai tyd was my sakgeld 15 cent, so ek weet nie of ek jy...
No, it's okay. So that the Grykie was on TV and she made like a Babalas concoction or something.
Ja, ek het nog die, ek dink ek het hom bietjie verander, want ek kan nie onthou wat ek was jong, ek het gesê, 'n vleermuis pilletjie en 'n dingetjie.
Oh, no, that's your own. I would never have said pilletjie on SRBC that year, you know, no, that was 1990.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, let's listen to die pynlyn.
Yeah, let's
die pynlyn was that's my favorite.
Yeah. All right.
Ja, dis nou so skuins na middernag, en hy is nog steeds ingeskakel by Percy's middernag sessie. Een program vol vinkelvonkel, vanes, vrae en vrolijke vluitige versoekies. En ek sien ons skakelbord, liggies is aan die gang. Dit beteken een ding, ons het weer iemand op. Pynlyn. Dis reg, die pynlyn. En kom ons kyk, wie is op die pynlyn? Hallo?
Hallo?
Met wie praat ek?
Hallo Percy, is dit jy?
Die nimmelike.
Ach, dankie vir jou program, Percy.
Dankie vir jou.
Nee, dankie vir jou.
Dankie, jy is dierbaar.
Nee, jy is dierbaar.
Jy is een te veel.
Jy is een te veel, Percy.
Ja, hou nou maar op. Wat is jou naam?
Tos.
Tos?
Ja.
Wel, Tos, wat is jou probleem?
Nou, niemand verstaan my nie, Percy.
Dis ek maar bietjie Tos. Dis 'n grapie, jy sien, ek het jou naam gevat en 'n bietjie gespeel alweer.
Ja, niemand verstaan my nie, Percy, en daarom ek drink. Ek is verslaan aan alcoholis.
Wat jy het my probeer sê is dat jy probleem het omdat niemand jou verstaan nie, is ek reg?
Ja, sien jy, Percy, jy verstaan my.
En dan is jy ook een drinker van vele dinge. Jy drink enig iets wat jou lippe kan omtuit. Is jy een suiper van? Is dit reg?
Dis hy, ek sy Alwe sê my sweet.
Oh,
Percy, jy verstaan my heel te
nou, maar het was lekker om jou toe kon gehelp, Tos.
Is ons nou klaar?
Ja, ons is
nou
klaar.
Maar waar is jou raad nou? Ek moet...
Nee, my raad is soos die wijn in die botte langs jou foon, Tos.
Maar dit is op.
Ja, precies, dit is op, maar my raad is ook op.
Is dit op?
Ja.
Maar Percy...
Nee, shut up, jou koei, ek het niks meer om vir jou te sê nie. Jy klink in elk geval na 'n kom en nou salet. Jy sal nooit ophou drink nie, man, want jou type het nie walskrag nie. Jy's 'n vieslike vervuiling van die samelewing. Jy's 'n kakiebos in die menslike blommetuin. Spring eerder voor 'n blerry drank lorry in. Ek wil nie verder met jou praat nie.
Percy, dankie. Ek het weer welskrag. Jy het my aarde toe geskok met jou terapie. Dankie, Percy. Ek sal nooit weer drink nie. Nooit.
Nee, maar ek is bly om jou toe kon gehelp
het.
En ek het vir jou 'n liedjie hierso om jou nuwe lewe mee te begin en jy moet lekker suip. Ah, ek bedoel luister.
That was good. It was good.
Good year, it was good. Sometimes you can just hear it.
Tell like, what? This on a Friday?
Like, anytime. When I watch like Skumba doing the knack, I'm like, I know this is a good joke.
Yeah, you're like,
I can tell.
You understand a word where you're like,
I can tell this is great.
It looks amazing.
I wish I can understand Skumba.
In Mashabela. Maar weet jy wat? Dit is 'n taal ding, want party goed translate net nie. Jy kan nie.
Exactly.
Ek het 'n gig gedoen Taboo. Nee, en is hierdie fancy club in Sandton en meeste van die it's like mostly black comics and they it's pretty much an all black audience and most of the comics
they
do
Vinak. Yeah.
And I was standing next to Tats and Konzo and a lot of the time I was you know, when there's a big off, I'd say, well, what was the joke? And then he'd say, he's saying this and this and this, and I'm like, but
see, now, the problem is that...
That's not funny.
You totally lost the build-up of it, you know what I mean?
Yes, and also, language is just because if I had to, even in 3 and 1, like, translate some of the stuff we said in English, on paper, people would be like, how is this...
This is stupid.
How is this funny?
Yeah.
It's net soos, want a woord soos, jou poepenjolikie, or wat ook al, jy kan dit nie...
Can't translate.
Yeah, yeah, so... That is not my tall thing.
So, did you perform in front of black people that night?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
and did they laugh at you?
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh.
They laugh at you.
Yeah.
With you or at you?
The only time I've had black people laugh at me was 1 year at the iStedford. I said, I'm going to try to do every single item at the iStedford. Alles. So, onvoorbereide mimiek, voorbereide mimiek.
Wow.
Voorbereide improvisasie, onvoorbereide.
Okay.
Voorbereide lees, onvoorbereide lees. En die een ding was Zulu poetry.
Damn.
Then I did a Zulu poem.
How'd it go?
And I was the only white kid. Well, I mean, there was this...
Can you remember
white
it?
Whom, no, not a fool. Oh. There was this white whom I knew that could speak Zulu, so he transcribed it
gave
to me.
Gave you the wrong fucking word.
No, like phonetically. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was obviously mispronouncing it and the kids were giggling because obviously by mispronouncing I was maybe giving different meaning to it.
Oh, yeah. Oh. The meaning.
I was then saying, like, I give you four lines. By yo, Marsup.
So where did you grow up?
I was born in Venda, in Limpopo. Then I grew up in Pretoria, and I finally moved to Joburg.
What do you think of Pretoria? I also grew up there. What's your years you grew up there?
The years I was there was between 2000 and about 2012.
Wow.
So I was there for 12 years, yeah.
I left long after.
Oh, you're like, you walked in and walked out. Like,
I left Pretoria in 1982. That's when I left.
Maar toe gaan jy waarheen vandaar?
Then I went to Stellenbosch to study there.
Om te studeer. En toe waar was die eerste plek waar jy soos gebly het?
Johannesburg.
Johannesburg.
I never went back to Pretoria.
Yeah, okay. Pretoria just doesn't have it.
No.
Yeah, it does not have it.
Strange place.
It's like Bloemfontein. It's like both of them, they're like the same and they made love to Polokwane or something. Like it's just,
I was born in Polokwane.
STD, like you're born in that STD called Polokwane. Okay, cool. Like that place is an STD. It needs to go.
No, well, when like, it was still Petersburg.
Oh, it's not.
Oh, that's Petersburg.
When it was an STI.
That was for me the cuckest place ever.
Yeah, it's so cuck.
Why? Pretty much never been there actually.
I don't know. Petersburg was just
Petersburg. I thought you mean Pretoria.
No.
Which
Pretoria.
Was close to that.
No, Petersburg, Polokwane. But the name also Petersburg. There's like a grey, fucking oppressing.
yep.
vibe yeah. on that name. Ooh, I actually used to...
Petersburg.
Like press on the weekends.
I used to joke in one of my shows, I've got a gay character, and he says that he when he was young, they took him, the psychologists, to Petersburg for shock therapy. To shock him out of his gayness.
That never works. like throwing giant peels at him. I'm still gay.
I'm even gay now.
I'm gay enough.
They tried to do that to me once, now that I think about it. But not Did shock
they?
Therapy.
Who's they? Who's they? Who's they?
No, the priest and the priest's really? Assistant. They took me to the... So in front of the congregation, there were like about 500 people.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So I went to... My father grabbed me and took me to the front. No. And then he said...
But did people... I just quickly ask, were people... Did they think you were gay or was you out of the closet openly gay?
I was... In that week, I came out of the closet.
Oh, okay.
Like 25 August 2001.
And so your father thought, okay, let's shock him back.
They were like, no.
So my father was obviously, straight. This is now the first time that they are hearing, whatever.
Yeah.
So my father grabbed me and took me to the front.
How old were you?
That's so
I
wrong.
Was 21.
Okay.
And then there was an American preacher. And then he said, like, who's in need of prayer? And then my father raised his hand, my son is a sinner, he's gay.
This
pray.
Guy needs a prayer.
And then he took his hand like this on my forehead. Yeah. I was angry. I was just like, I wanted to hit my father.
Yeah.
Like that is how, and I'm not a very like sort of, you know, violent person.
Mm.
And then they took me to the back and then they prayed. They opened the Bible. I don't know where, but then they was just like, gay, move away, whatever they said.
Gay, move away. I like that.
But
gay, move away.
Move away.
But how did that affect your outlook on society? Because at 21 I was still very gullible. I think the thing is like it's just that society is so wrong with what they're doing.
Mm.
I mean, and then you were, I think I almost want to say, lucky to see the angry, ugly side of society at a younger age.
Mm.
Then when you're getting, I only saw it at 30 and I realized, shit, this whole thing, I don't want to say everything, but people are stupid.
Yeah.
they just do stupid shit and they think their beliefs is correct.
Of course, at that stage.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, yeah.
10 years later, they say, oh, no, that's totally wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
We're very sorry we did
yeah,
that.
Because it's like the Ingekerk. Like,
we didn't know.
I grew up with the Ingekerk, and Ingekerk used to say, oh, you know, a woman can never be a preacher. 10 years later, Mariki, kom, gaan vir ons die Bybel gaan lees. And then 10 years later, God says there cannot be gay preachers. Okay, we've got a gay preacher 10 years later. What?
Yeah.
How do you...
But the funny thing, but the funny thing is the we were in the church in somewhere in Johannesburg and the pastor of the church was my landlord. So I'm like, Dad, but are you risking me getting thrown in the street?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But then that was like my first month or so of like staying at the pastor while I was at the back. Yeah. Maar het vir my gereeld kom afloer. Like he came to like.
So you get that sick.
This is a pastor married and the child is there and the other out of wedlock child is somewhere in Johannesburg.
And he's shouting, "Gay, go away."
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Oh, meanwhile, Lou
sounds like the O.J. Simpson trial.
This guy was seducing you.
It doesn't fit. Acquit. If it doesn't fit, acquit.
You're saying the pastor tried to make
No, no, he didn't make a move, but he used to like
peek.
He'd peek and he used to come in like
he was
in
intrigued
the,
by it.
In
it
the cottage.
He was okay. Wanking away.
Yeah, he was probably wanking.
Probably, but I was bathing and then he would knock on the door.
Oh,
I would say, I'm just in the bath. And 2 seconds, he's in the bathroom.
Can I come back baptize you? Can I come back?
Does he start taking a poop or is like
No, he's just standing there and he's talking.
He's just standing there. He's not even like holding soap in his hand.
And talking
like,
random.
Well.
Here we are.
It was a one man job, but it was a one man job.
Can
had to spread some love somewhere.
You can see it was years ago because you were in the bath. No one baths anymore. No one fucking bothered. The other day I did a gig in Standerton. And the
where?
Guest house in Standerton. And the guest house was there was no shower. There was this massive bath.
Jeez.
And I lay in the bath. I'm like, when last did I take a bath? Jeez.
But it's relaxing in a
this
way.
This fucking like I put Netflix on the little table and I like
that's why you bath.
Lay in the bath.
Yeah.
Bath is long term. Shower is short term.
Yeah.
I always
shower
bath.
In the morning, bath at night.
I bath at night.
I think as you know in Kaapstad, but Fucking vlieg.
Heere.
Patricia de Lille.
Op een beese.
Heere, right. Nee, je hebt van die FBI. Full suit. Hier die venster.
In my mind, all I hear is, lieve heksie. Ach, lieve bloemie.
Die was sexy. Oh, I'm so sorry. On behalf of humanity, I apologize, Gavin.
What?
For that pray the gay away cock.
Yeah.
Yes. It's
part of our society.
Yeah, well, but
now, you and your father are cool now. Are you guys?
No. Lovely. He, oh, okay. At our wedding. At
as my he apologized wedding, to you.
So basically what I did was after that, because you just don't, you don't do that and get away with it.
No.
So I locked my father up for about 7 hours.
In prison?
Like locked him up. No, in the house, but locked. He could not get out.
When?
His house. Slot and Grendel.
When? When? That time?
Just in the house
after
in
church,
the room?
House. After church.
We that day. That same day. You took revenge.
So I like, we got into the car and he was like very proud of himself because my son is now straight. Yeah. So I drove to my house. And I said to him, go inside, your newspaper is there. And I locked, ek het die deur gesluit, ek het die hek van die deur gesluit. I locked the gate in front. He could not get out. The pastor, actual pastor, then went to my dad and said, are you okay? Yes, I'm fine. Because he was like, you know, talking through the window. Yeah. I locked my dad up. And then I...
Where did you go for the 7 hours? Went to a movie.
Went to a gay club.
Went to a watch movie. Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
It's not time yet. Like, he's going to learn his lesson.
He went to go watch it 3 times in a row. Like, he walked out. Bought another ticket for the next one again, please.
With
exactly.
Big placard around the house. Cock is king.
Priscilla, pink slush puppy, mega.
Oh my goodness. And yes. So, and then he came to your wedding.
So, and then after that, he was fine-ish. Mm. And then at the wedding, because we got married like four years ago. I got married 4 years ago. And at the wedding, he came out to everybody.
Did he give you
everybody.
Away?
Oh,
how was it?
Your father. No, he came out. He, no, he, not he. He came out, but he was like, he's accepting his son for being gay. And that was the first time. Okay. To everybody. Okay. Family.
So
and
that's
friend.
The end of the movie titles.
Yes. Now I'm going to go up.
That's right. Amazing. At least that's a good story.
I thought there was a sequel where your father's like, I'm also gay.
And then you can go watch. And he's like, good news, I got another 2 tickets for that show. Go watch it together.
Imagine, yo. And now my father.
Gay to stay.
And then the pastor comes out, it's like, oh, come on, guys.
We're all having a birthday party.
This is the Amalite cuckoo.
Pastor comes out as well.
Well, imagine. Yeah, he needs to come out. He needs to come out.
He needs to come out.
But imagine your father takes the mic and you say, now my father's going to say a few words. Gavin, my son.
You've inspired me.
Thank you for showing me the way.
Oh, goodness.
How times are. But then Alex Turnin committed suicide.
What?
What? Me? The guy who invented the Odessa code, the fucking. That guy.
What are you talking about?
He did that. I did in 3 and 1 ook gedoen. I begin het praat en dan is ek en Hannes soos kyk ek vir Hannes en Hannes kyk vir my en dan los ons vir Kasper en dan sê Kasper, weet julle wat ek bedoel? He looks to, because the crowd's going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then Kasper looks at me and Hannes to save him and we like, we wish we could. But
we don't know what you just did.
And
right
it's in
now.
The same breath. It's in the very same breath.
I said Alan Turing committed suicide because he was gay in the 50s, but he decoded the code, Nazi codes, and ended the world, World War II.
Oh, okay.
Oh my goodness.
But then after that, they sort of hunted him for being gay, and he committed suicide.
Oh.
You see, so he died for your father's sins. That's a new religion.
Very specific, yeah. In the Turing book of decoding.
That segue was what?
That's why I didn't cry.
But we will, in feature 3 in 1, we'll talk about this, where I sort of just say something and everyone grinds to a halt. What?
And then Casper just says himself again, don't worry, it was a joke between me and myself. And then everyone laughs because he does the laugh that everyone loves, and then you carry on.
When is the next show, though?
So we're doing Freyfield.
Silver Star.
So we're doing Silver Star in end of June.
It's that June, eh?
Yeah, I think it's the 28th of June. 28th
of June. Which Silver Star is this?
This one.
On the one, yeah. Krugersdorp.
Oh, okay.
And then we're doing Freyfield actually in the Koffsie Kerk.
Jesus.
On Bloemfontein campus.
Mag julle vloek? Can you swear?
We have to.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, I'll get a priest to come and ontrein.
They use it as a venue. I mean, we do the show as normal. Yeah. And then hopefully, we're still waiting to hear, but hopefully, Arklop it, and then we're like going to look at PE and...
Mm. Yeah, and we have to do Cape Town.
Cape Town, yeah. So we're busy looking at dates, but our schedules are so... Especially because also the producer of the show is also fucking busy because he... has a show on VIA, you know, the Afrikaans channel, Weg Achter Baie, yeah. And he's a travel journalist for Weg magazine. So he also travels a lot. So it's a nightmare finding dates for all four of us, but, you know, we're getting there.
So Kaka and Ka is an Afrikaans improv show.
It's not correct.
Kaka and Ka, it's Grahamstown Festival.
Oh, okay.
But for Afrikaans people, mostly Afrikaans language.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. So but yeah, I don't frequent festivals. I don't like it that much. But I must tell you, this year's ka in ka. You can't just say KKK because then people see fucking sheets.
Yeah.
The KKK NK was actually very nice this year for me. I loved it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Where does it happen?
In Oudtshoorn.
Oh, okay, cool. Oh, so you guys have a improv show, a 3-man improv show.
We decided to do a show where it's not comedian, one after the other, rather all together on same stage, all the time.
For an hour and a half or so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we can go on for 2 hours, actually. We were overtime all the time.
But what I like about the show is that people don't know when it's improv or not.
Oh, okay.
It's not like whose line.
Some parts I work out.
Yeah. So some parts we did rehearse, and when something funny happens in a show, afterwards we'll say if possible, we're going to try and recreate that tomorrow, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't feel, it's not like, okay, guys, this next game is called this.
Oh,
yeah. What we need from the audience now is suggestions of the worst place in the world, and we're going to show you...
That's tough for Afrikaners.
You know what I mean? It's not like whose line, like where you introduce the game. Mm. So it just kind of, we talk about something.
Yeah,
and then,
we talk about something, and then it sort of develops into an improv sketch.
Oh, okay.
Right there and then.
Okay. So like, let's say you'll be telling a story about back in the day, something. And then he ends up taking a role of one of the people in that story.
Yes, and then I say, Hannes, won't you play that part? Skalk, won't you play that part? We decide to do it there on stage, and we do it.
And just, like, no matter how the outcome is,
it will always be a good outcome wherever.
You just have to trust
yourself because you go into that zone, and then the plane will land. You just got to fly it.
Well, like, you don't land it smoothly. You know, like, you let it drop from the sky. Like,
we got no wheels. We got no wheels.
And it's fucking sparks.
We're supposed to be landing on water. Come back up.
Hachan! No, it's a very freeing experience. I really loved it, and
I can't wait to see it. I want to come to the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the title of it? What's it called?
3-in-1.
3-in-1.
Yeah, 3-in-1, like nice. Oil. You're oil.
What's like about the show is like it's a type of show. You know, Grahamstown has these shows where every year that show is there. And people just go watch it time and again and again and again.
You wanted to see
one of the
song.
People's, Ellenbogen.
Yeah, Nicholas
Ellenbogen. Nicholas Ellenbogen. Every year he does a thing called, what is it? Whatever. So
Like an adventure spoof.
Yeah, it's like an adventure spoof. But then every year he'll just do a new story. But it's packed every year. It's sold out.
Geez. For years and years. I also saw that. Our student. I went to his things. And it was like, it's like Top Secret and Flying Eye, that kind of humor where you...
It's for example, like, there was a big boom and then someone will have a small cracker. Boom!
Or
all the... Yeah.
Can I be frank with you? No, I'm Johan.
But 3-in-1 is the type of show, because it's improv, and a lot of the content of the show is like, we talk about the one movie that came out recently, we talk about the shows at the Cock on Koso. It's like a brand new show, and because it's improv, it's a type of show I think we can do forever, time after time, and people can come watch and see a new show every year.
So in other words, what you're saying is that, so at the Kaka and Castle, the future shows won't be like exactly the same.
No, because because the one movie we spoke about was Jagveld.
That's new over now.
So that's already like sort of off the circuit by now. So the next show, we won't speak about Jagveld again because it's not relevant anymore. Yeah.
No, it unfortunately, Hannes, who is also in, and he's now rehearsing Roering Dursi.
So in a voice note, you can say Snoo Valpy.
Snoo Valpy. But I think we will get together again in the Cosper Radio Show, you know, with the 3-in-1 cast.
Yes, please.
But now, Cry Freedom, I want to ask you.
Cry Freedom.
Yeah.
Cry the beloved
cunt. Cry the beloved cunt.
Is it my hairstyle?
That should be your first one man show title. I think.
Cry the beloved cunt.
I think Casper just gave you your first one man title.
Yeah.
Cry the beloved cunt.
Well, but you must have a little tree just in case they're shocked, eh?
Yeah.
Cry the beloved cunt.
That's a very good idea.
I'm going to actually use that.
Write it down.
I'm going to
cry the beloved cunt, mama. I could not see you. What even?
Yeah, C-O-U.
You can't K-R-N-T, mama.
Yeah, I can't actually.
Mix it word.
You can't hear cunt with the A, eh? When you're sitting in the audience, it's cunt. But that's why you should have the tree. Next door, a little tree. It's a little tree.
It's going to be a banana tree.
Yeah.
It has to be a banana tree.
Wat is jou gunsteling audience so far, and waar perform jy? Wat is jou how did you get into it? That's what I want to know.
How did I get into comedy?
Yeah.
It's actually a very strange thing. I did community theater in Centurion Irene Community Club.
What the hell is community theater?
It's like the theater where there's like a...
You go to poor
community.
People.
Yeah, it's like a...
You go to poor people and you do Hamlet.
Alle mense op die straat, jy gather hulle by mekaar.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't do kaka.
I did drama in school and then...
Like pop-up theater.
It's like pop-up theater, yes. But then there's a community is actually a show. So you do a proper show.
Yes.
And we used to do... I used to do like joke shows. Like I used to be James Bond or... accents and bonjour, all these weird accents I used to do that. And then I stopped.
What do you mean? You just stand on the stage and just do accents?
No, there's a show. Like, we would have one that was called James Blonde. The other show was Mary Kelly's Something Adventure. I don't even know what it was called.
Okay. Frankenstein. And then,
but was it some of those community shows where you educate...
No. These are actually...
This is community-like and you belong to a society.
Yes, it's the Irene Dramatic Society.
Like an Agatha Christie or a Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yes. Okay. But the thing is, after the comedy shows was finished, they kept on having these serious dramas and I didn't like that.
No.
So I decided to go study. But the problem is, I did what you kind of did, but in the car in traffic. I started recording, Welkom by Panzerwaar. It's like my skit. And I had Panzerwaar, and I still had the CD, and I would give the CD. My girlfriend at the time was like, "Hoe kom fucking doen jy nie net comedy nie? Why don't you?" And I had it on the wall. So Christmas 2013, she said, "I booked you a show at Parker's."
Oh, she did it.
Yeah, and then you need to be... Because I always wanted to do it, but I didn't know what to
bitch.
Do. But that was... And I practiced and I failed, but I love failing, and I love the two laughs. So I just kept going.
You got two laughs that night.
Yeah, I got two laughs.
Sorry, just say that again.
You got two laughs that night.
Yeah. One was from my girlfriend and the other one was from my mother. So.
Oh, you mean literally two people laughed?
Laugh.
I thought two laughs from the audience,
yeah,
but you meant literally two laughs
there was
as
only,
an individual.
There was only two
laughers.
Yeah, two laughers, yeah.
Which gave you enough confidence.
I
can do this for you.
Yeah, it was actually fun. It was inspiring. Now I need to write better. And not make my mother laugh.
I love your girlfriend because she's got so much of confidence in you.
Yeah, that's always stunning, eh?
And she does things. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
She's now my fiance, by the way.
Hey,
what's her name? What's her name?
Linda.
Hello, Linda.
Wait, I think it's Linda. Yeah, it's Linda.
Hey. Marcel, what's Marcel?
Marcel aangekomen.
Ons, ons noem al fucking flamenk.
Flammy.
Flammy.
And your
Flammy van Rensburg.
Where are you from again? You said Mpumalanga. No.
No. I said Venda.
Oh, I'm not well.
Yeah, it's okay. None of us are.
So, did you start being funny at the house? At the house?
Yeah,
at
like my funny started from back in the day in primary school and whatnot.
Inspired by television, what you saw?
Yeah, television and bullying. Because I get bullied, so then I had to like find a way to.
Why did they bully you?
Because I was like tall and all kinds
clever.
Of weird. I was lanky.
And then
I was that guy. So I got bullied by everybody whose body was proportional to their
and
head.
And then you get a thick skin.
And I got a thick skin, and I started making jokes of everybody. So what I'll do is they'll bully me, and then I'll find them in the bus where all the girls are and all the guys are, and I'll just like just make fun of them. Like, I'll just hoy. And then when I get off, I run home. It's like,
when the wheel stops.
Then you were wanked.
I did
the same. I did exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Just in a different format. I didn't, not on the bus, but there was a guy, we spoke about him in the show, Germant Geldenhuis, he's now a soap star. He started, he once had to advertise the sort of Valentine's ball, and he decided to do sort of news bulletin in front of the school, and then he started... dissing who's the new couples. He'd make fun of teachers.
Yeah.
And then the children loved it, so he just kept doing it for no reason again and again.
Okay.
And when he left matric, he handed it over to me. I was like grade 9 or 10 at the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, just the amount of respect you then get, because now you have the power of humor. You can, even the coolest rugby player, you can... you have the power to embarrass him at the school.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden everyone's coming to you going, okay, Scott, I need to tell you this thing. Yanni this weekend at this house party got so drunk.
Snap.
And please in your next...
I'm trying to buy your loyalty.
In your next show, you must
talk about
that. And like, oh, did you know these people are together? And so it's an amazing... Humor is an amazing...
Yeah. It gets you in and out of trouble.
That's clever. I did one show at school. It was like a big spectacular in the evening, 7 o'clock, and then all the school children would come. I would put on posters, and then I would send up the teachers and the children in that one show. But that was it.
Yeah.
So you already had radio programs every bloody week.
Yeah, I did it like once every 4 or 5 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Amazing.
10 minutes.
That's amazing.
Just for 10 minutes, like during assembly or something.
Yeah, in assembly, usually on a Friday, because that's a more like informal assembly.
Casual then, yeah.
And it was weird going from that to stand-up, because then you realize how hard it is. Inside jokes are easy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows...
We all get them.
Everyone knows, you can just go, cry, and his girlfriend, Flamink. And now everyone laughs because we know he's thing, and maybe his girlfriend has long legs, so everyone knows, okay.
Yeah.
But now, when I then did my first stand-up set... Now I have to think of
strangers.
Like,
now you straight up in front of strangers.
What everyone knows about. My first set also Dada Mouse. I did it. It was weird. I did it in a school uniform.
You did in school?
Because I thought.
When was this?
The school uniform will protect you.
In matric, I did it in my like school clothes. I just finished matric, and I thought, it's like got because I went for like a novelty thing, and I spoke about. I can't even remember like maths and.
Yeah.
School stuff.
Yeah.
And I died on my ass, and then I was like, cool, I tried stand up and it's not for me. And then like a few months later, after I didn't get into drama at UCT, then I tried again, and this one third year drama student helped me a bit to just like think in the right direction. And then once your mind clicks, oh, this is how you write a joke or stand up.
Yeah, this is how you write for stand up.
Then it like clicks and then it can't go back.
Oh yeah.
So then I just went from there.
Can you put that into words, how you write for stand-up, from your thoughts?
No, just when your mind clicks, like, oh, you need punchlines and you need...
So how do you write, Scott? Because I write from the punchline down. So I find
you create a punchline and then you go back.
Yeah. So it's...
Flamenco.
Okay, now I need to get there. No, it's
stupid. No. As a one-liner, this is how it works for me. I hear a word.
And then you go back.
And then I go back.
Let me get out of the pool.
Yeah.
I'm in the park. The flamenco, they're there. I'm going to go back.
Yeah,
you have to rewind.
Yeah.
And then, I love that. And you, how do you write your stuff? Do you write in your head or on paper?
I got stuff on paper, I got stuff in my head. But it usually comes from like conversations I have with strangers, people that don't know what I do. So they'll ask me like, yo, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I I'm a salesman. I work in call centers. Like, oh, is this your off day? Yeah. And they would have like this long conversation. And then what the things that I would say that would make them laugh, I'll go home like, cool. Can I put that on stage? Because now that person does not know me at all. So yeah. It wasn't on something. They were laughing because they think. So and then I try putting it on stage. And then if it works, it works. Or otherwise, stories from like real life. Yeah.
But when you perform and cry, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you the same. Do you feel it here that you want to do this? Because if you feel that, nothing can beat you.
Yeah.
You will succeed.
I call those the bubble guts.
Yeah.
I'll take a poop at home. I'll still get to the show. I have to take one.
And you'll have your bubble. Yeah.
You don't eat before the show at all. I don't eat before the show.
No, you don't.
I'm too scared afterwards. Something's gonna happen.
Afterwards, you eat. And
second. You can go crazy.
Kraai het ooit van aan sy broek bekak of ek gehoor by Goliath Comedy Club.
But that's the thing, you don't know.
I don't want to eat because I don't know what's going to happen. Jeez, how little control do you have over your body?
Jy keer dink jy dis net 'n wind en jy sit soveel vir
nee.
Wat dan?
Kraai.
Wat dan is dit 'n cock joke?
Sorry people, this is my last and my cuckers joke.
Oh my goodness.
My cheekbones are finished with laughter.
I've always wanted to on stage and I've never been able to do it, but I've always wanted to have a fart and then just in the middle of the joke, like I'm talking, put the mic by my bum, fart.
Yeah.
And then just bring it back and carry on. But it's never worked out.
Some people can fart by will.
I can't.
But do they have to know Will? Because I don't know Will.
No, they buy.
Oh, buy Will. Buy Will.
By Will's house.
By Will's house.
About this inside joke, I want to tell you something I learned years ago. My mother is Dutch, so I went to see a lot of Dutch shows. They are very good with satire and parody in Holland. And then I saw a technique that has since been picked up by a lot of comedians, but it's perfect. It will never fail. Mm. As you set your inside jokes inside your material.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You see? And so you can refer back to it later and then they will all laugh because they feel...
That's clever.
Yeah, you plant a subliminal in your brain.
You plant these things and they were very good with that.
The callback.
Yeah. Mm. I feel like that's good comedy right there. Yeah. Where even though there's that big punchline for the slow audiences, because we're gonna make provision for everybody. There are fast guys and slow guys.
Your audience is slow. Mine is not that slow.
Okay. Like, all right. So the fast guys, they understand the little bits that you're throwing in there before you get to the big punchline, and they enjoy that. So you end up having those guys. They laughing, but there's no noise coming out. I like those guys because they end up crying and he's like, "Fuck, he's killing me." And you can't hear them laugh. And then eventually, when everything starts playing out, where he starts like just unveiling the big dish of like all these callbacks, and you just kill the whole room. And
everybody... then they go hysterical.
Yeah,
yeah. But I've never, that was years and years ago. I've never heard that since I saw it there, and now I see it's starting to become a sort of device.
Hulle noem dit 'n callback. That's what you call it.
You call it a callback.
Yeah. No, but like there's a callback where it's on some, let's say somewhere in the joke, somewhere I would have said like Cliff Central.
Yes.
And I'll be trying, oh, what happened was, I remember it was Glenn Biderman Penn said something about in the middle of the day or something
about
like that.
Something.
Broad daylight.
In broad daylight. Say the only time someone says broad daylight is when some people are getting robbed or whatever, right?
Mm.
And then, so I was hosting. So when I went back on, I was like, cool, I'm going to start talking about what I see at a black beach. And then I'm like, okay, cool, how can I bring it into the point where they'll be like, well, let's accept the story. So I'm like, oh, well, I was in Durban in broad daylight. And right when I was there, I saw, these are the five things I saw.
That's
so
perfect.
That's like a proper callback. That
Those
little subliminal ones where it was never really a big joke. But then it comes back as like, oh, shit, how did he even bring that back?
People find it incomprehensible that you said the thing in the first joke.
Yeah. And it
now it
really
became the punchline of your last joke. My one-man show last year, Second Language, the punchline was from... my closing punchline was from the first joke. And they used to Susan Sepoos. They're looking for the cat in...
The cat.
And then my last joke was a...
fart joke that I farted in the shower and I did it wrong, whatever. And my girlfriend, I tried to hide it from my girlfriend. Then it sounded like a cat. And then she's like, do you have a cat in the shower? Then I'm like, no, I found Susan Spoos. Here it is.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. That kind of thing. Then people are like, whoa,
they lose their shit.
How can you do?
They lose their brain. Like, yeah, yeah, it's
but
crazy.
Someone said once, it's an interesting theory. It's actually, people love it so much because they actually applauding themselves for being clever enough to recognize it. So they're going, clever me.
Yeah, I did
I made the connection. I realized that he said broad daylight.
Which
was actually Glenn's.
Because everybody wants to be cleverer than the person sitting next to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when that happens, they lose their shit.
But you basically set up your audience.
Yeah.
And they don't know it.
They don't know.
And then they love you
never
for being so clever.
Yeah. You must never know what's going on.
He just got the secret out.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry about it. We've got more tricks in the bag.
What is your dream for the future? I mean, what things do you want to do? Do you want to end up like having a show like The Chappelle? Or do you see yourself in movies? Do you see yourself on stage?
All those things, really.
Can you act as well?
Yeah, I can. I did a lot of acting back in primary and high school. And so I've got that side of me, but I'm not a drama actor like at all. I'm a comic actor, and that's all I'll ever be able to do. So like in the near future, at about when I turn 30, which will be in 3 years, I want to be recognized, like completely recognized across South Africa. Where cool, if I'm on the bill and I'm getting paid, I'm not just doing open spots anymore. So I understand where I'm at now, and then also have a show of my own, and I'm trying to think of like a good show. A couple of friends of mine, Ebenezer Dibakwane, I'm not sure if you know the guy. Him and I, we're writing a series as well. So we're trying to do a bunch of things and not sell them to SABC. That's SABC must fall.
What was your show called? Because you were advertising it at Poppy's once and said, come through, I'm doing a show. Well, your first one-man show.
Oh, my first one-man show was called Knock Knock, Guess Who.
Okay.
Yeah, it was,
so
it was my...
So you're still doing that one?
I'm actually moving on to Publicly Indecent, which is, a bunch of new material.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, for me, my first one-man show was do I have it in me to do a one-man show? Okay.
You got to do it.
You know what I mean? You have to do it. And it was like, cool, I understand. It's either going to be 10 people here or 1,000 people, but I want to do this thing. I wrote all material on a giant piece of paper. It was just like the headlines of it. I went on. An hour later, I came back, I crossed out everything that I spoke about, and I still had like a nice little handful. I was like, okay, cool. I have what it takes. Now I just need to refine it and make it strong so that no one can doubt it.
You know what also happened? I don't want to trumpet about Holland, but years and years ago when I was there and got to know the system, what they do there is all the comedians, they do their one-man shows. They call it one-man show, not stand-up. And then at the end of the year, there's a television channel. There's such a lot of variety. There's from ultra-left to ultra-right television channels. And they all have space on Dutch TV depending on how many viewers they garner. Mm. And so these channels would buy that one-man show and show it on TV.
Oh, damn.
And that's how I got the idea to do my shows and put them on video first, that so that they're there.
Yes.
And because TV wasn't interested years ago, of course. They couldn't. It was too much. But in terms of the material. But we have now come to that years and years later, and I love that you have yourself on record, that you must have yourself on record, a DVD of that show, DVD of that show, or a recording.
You see it on box office, you know, it's like Barry Hilton will do a show, Mark Lottering, Trevor Noah, then it's on DStv box office, and then after that it will go maybe somewhere on one of the Mnet Movies channels or Comedy
like
Central.
That.
Yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah.
The great things about those ones is that, you know what I mean, they already... They buy it. They buy your name because they're like, cool, it's Oscar Brazenhoed. He's been doing a lot of work. He's got a big fellowship. So we're not making a loss here. And I mean, with the young guns, like where I've not made like a big enough puddle, like a big enough splash within the comedy game that...
But you can do the puddle and Cry can do the cuck.
Like, yeah, he's gonna be the doers in the puddle. Yeah. So
like, but you can still record a DVD even if you just to have it on record.
Have it
Years later, you will want to refer back to that material and you'd want to see it somewhere, and you won't remember. How did that joke go?
Oh yeah, that's true.
Exactly. I'm so happy for that as well, because I've got of my first ever shows, 1986. I've got home video, static camera achter recording with alles is so blurry and doof, but ten minste hoor met, you can still hear what happened. That just you won't remember everything, so that's nice to have that on record.
Yeah.
But I only, you know, started in 1997, I think, to actually professionally record to sell, but that was only no DVD yet in the imagination of people. It was only video and only VHS.
I get nou net sit ek in die TV kamer so 'n paar dae terug toe kyk ek na die rak, jy weet, ons het mense het altyd daai TV is mos in so moerse
rak ding
konstruksie.
Myne was ook so.
Ja, so dis nou nog so by in ons huis. Dus kyk ek nou net langs die TV is ons nou soos 'n paar DVD's en goed, soos Prison Break, Boxer.
Yeah.
En ons soos 'n paar video's en Wetter is daar, fucking staan daar. En toe wonder ek maar, hoe gaan ek ooit hierdie nou kyk? Waar gaan ek nou 'n
VHS kry? I didn't even have a video player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That works.
Where will I... So as jy nou Wetter vir my wil wys, het jy dit op digital?
I then later went DVD with everything. Yeah, remastered them.
Oh, remastered Wetter and Vault Wars and stuff on DVD. Okay, cool.
But that's the goodness of the internet as well, that you can actually upload like your little project onto the internet, and you can decide, do I want it to be public or I'm just going to keep it there, because you can keep it there forever. Because you never know.
I agree with that, because I really don't care what I publish. I know it's shit, but because I gave you one of my dumb DVDs once. I don't know if you remember, in Pretoria.
He's talking to Skull,
ladies. Yeah, I did. Actually. Right now.
I had some YouTube videos of acting and some jokes, and I had short
films.
He
didn't give me one.
Then I must give you one, but I'll give you a better one. Okay, I'll give you a better one. So I don't care. If I get two votes, it's better than getting no votes.
What are you talking about? What are fucking votes?
If videos, shows.
Views on YouTube.
Views. So I would,
not votes.
Not like political votes.
I'm Afrikaans. I knew exactly he means views. He means
votes.
Votes.
If I have two votes, it's enough votes for me.
I'm like a dictator without a tater. But it's fine.
I've got a dick.
Without a dick.
Looking for the tater.
No, dude.
Oh, man.
And where can we see you next?
I am tomorrow, Saturday. I am doing a private function for my private people. My,
so we can't see.
Yeah, you can. So if you
don't want that. I don't want to hear about from Gerard to Brian. You're gonna have one profession.
Do 5 minutes.
Yeah, I do 5 minutes at family functions.
Booking now.
Sunday I'm at Railways for a charity gig.
Cry for your braai.
Cry and braai.
I almost wanted to say bring your, but I'm getting married. I can't say anything. Cry. Bring else for something else. Yeah. Now for. But so Sunday's
where's
Railways.
That?
Railways is in Centurion. It's Glenn Bowe is running a gig for charity.
Okay.
And then Tuesday it's a Muse.
It's a clever way not to pay you.
Yeah, I know.
They just a message from Marcel says, I'll see you on Sunday.
Marcel. Right. Thanks, Marcel.
Linda met by die huis bly.
Ja, sy gaan actually by die huis bly.
We're going to do back. We're going to do back.
Hey, what's up, Casper the Freeze?
We're going to see you.
Well, you guys missed me on Wednesday. I was at...
Oh, no.
Yeah.
13.5.
It's all good. Oh, no, I didn't make it to 13.5. There's another gig with some guy named Robin Lee. It's Time for Comedy. I hosted. Woo. It was beautiful times, guys.
Really?
Oh, you guys. Yeah. Oh, you should have been there.
Damn it.
Like, Scott has seen me host before. He loves it.
I have seen you host.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And then you're going to see me host Skulk and Glenn once again at Rodizio on the 11th of May.
That sounds very colonial.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. Colonial.
Yeah, Rodizio.
Yeah, Rodizio. Like, yeah. It's in the west. I think it's in the west somewhere. It's
which
one? Real fun. The one where we're going to be at? I don't know which one it is.
Is that Zimbabwe now?
It's Zimbabwe. It was Zimbabwe. Like, funny enough, everybody that works there is Zimbabwean. So,
tell that joke.
Yeah, all the waiters there were. And, On the 24th, I'm going to be at Parker's. And then I think on the 7th, the 7th of June, I'm going to be at Parker's. And then I'm going to go to Cape Town with Sia Sayer. Hilarious individual. Nice. I think you need
really
to.
Good.
He's actually having. He had a one-man show on Wednesday.
There's comics who his whole persona, like, I can't tell if he's doing it on purpose or not, but it's hilarious. It's hilarious. It doesn't matter if it's on purpose.
Say his name slowly.
Sia Sayer.
Sia Sayer.
Yeah.
So it's like Leo Sayer. S A Y E R.
S I Y A S
E
Y A.
Sia.
Sia Sayer.
Say it. Yeah. Come down.
See ya, say ya.
It's so weird. Why did you drop a Kans people teach you how to say it? A four letter name.
No, they're going to lick you. Say ya.
Skarumba. No, that's the I from Skarumba.
Yeah.
See ya.
That's cucumber. Cucumber.
Okay, so we'll look out for you. It's a great meeting you. I loved your stuff, and I'm going to see you again.
I'd love to work with you one day if it's possible.
Absolutely, I think it will. Sweet. Will be possible. Hey, Skulk, do you think I will work well with him?
Yeah.
Why do you say it so hesitantly?
Because I was trying to think of. Because I was trying to think if you're going to do English or if he's going to do Afrikaans.
No, you can't do Afrikaans. I'll do Wendish.
Vendish.
That sounds a bit
Indian. English
Vendish.
In there, right?
Vendishula.
sounds like an Indian dish. You must try the Vendish.
Very delicious. Good.
And Cry, you told me you have been on Comedy Central, Cliff Central a lot. With the Gas podcast.
I used to be part of the Gas
Why
comedy
podcast. I never meet you.
I used to be the guy that came in once or twice.
The sex show's after me.
So I was screwed a few times. I did a website in the back of the data, the backlog of then on the data net. But I had to quit. I started a new job and
a shame, man.
I know.
But that, like, David Levison is the presenter. He always hangs around here till fucking 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So David, go home. No.
They're still cool guys. It's still a nice podcast.
No, he's it's nice. Awesome. It's a nice spot. The Gas spot. We track each other's leg. And Gavin, thank you so much. And I hope your back heals.
I hope yours does too.
What happened to your back, Gavin?
His back is out.
Where did it go?
Is your back also out?
It's a family problem.
When is your spinal cord back out?
I don't know. It's just sensitive.
You came out, your dad came out, your back
your
came
back
out.
The pasta came out. The dog's coming out.
The dog's been let out.
Like I said, I need muscle relaxant tablets after the show. Oh my god. This has been an amazing show.
That sounds like Lutheran, but okay.
Skulk, Poseidon, Ho, thank you so much for
being here.
I think there's no. Why is no Sir status already? Already on the show.
This is my first time I'm seeing him here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, but you move up. Every time you come on the show, you get a status.
Oh.
Yeah. So you're nearly close to Sir Skulk.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
There's not three, no?
There's not three, Mark. Don't was al ek kan nie
onthou nie. Ja, ek het nog net een keer
gesê. Okay, dan jy friend of the show. Just Fots. Fots.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hereby proclaim Skulk Poseidon Ho to Fots of the Casper Radio Show.
What is a Fots?
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Oh, it sounds like a dirty word.
Fots. No. No. Oh. I said it very clearly. Friend of the show, Fots. And you didn't.
Yeah, he said that. I heard him.
You like Petersburg audiences. You don't like them this.
But it was my bad.
STDs.
See you next week, people. Remember, next week, Friday, I am at Atterbury Theatre. And Skulk, when are you there?
Yeah, yay is 4 and 5 May, Donna.
Yeah?
Yes.
And yay?
Ek is daar 15, 16 en 17 Junie.
Junie eers.
Met my Afrikaanse one-man show.
Yay!
Oh, yeah. Wow, snap. That's going to be cool.
Bye-bye, Yale.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Enjoy your
party. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Goodbye. Goodbye. Farewell. Don't seem so. Bye. CliffCentral.com.